is Perth Tonight with Chris Ilsley on 882 6PR.
We've had the announcement this week that Toys R Us has gone into liquidation here in Australia. That's going to affect about 44 stores and 700 people who work in the stores. Their futures, of course, are on the line. This was once a really big player, international player. Toys R Us was something in the US and something we used to see on TV. And naturally, the US counterpart is also in liquidation. To borrow the oft-used line from the late Professor Julius Sumner Miller, one is inclined to ask, why is it so? Something tells me that kids still have toys. Something tells me there's always going to be a demand for toys. So why would a toy store, especially an international toy store, you think would know something about toys and trends and what people want and all that sort of stuff, why would it find itself going under? Roger Simpson is a retail expert and also CEO of The Retail Solution. Joins us on the program right now. G'day, Roger.
G'day, Chris. How are you going tonight?
Good, mate. Toys R Us. Who would have thought?
I heard your lead in there, and I'm as stunned as what you are, actually, because it's always been. I think they were started in the 50s, late 50s in the US, and at one stage had 1,500 stores across the US. So massive, big player. So yeah, extremely surprised this has happened.
So we start to ask ourselves, what has happened, and is this really a portent and an awful warning for other areas of retail?
Yeah. It has been, the last couple of years, I think, has seen some fairly well-known brands that have gone under. And interesting, when you look at this one, there's obviously some online impact on this. But also, when you look at it, and I was doing a bit of investigation, there's, once again, there's a bit of private equity behind it, which is... hasn't been so great for Meyer, and certainly spelt the death of Dick Smith, that's for sure.
Yeah. But Dick Smith, to me anyway, seemed an easy explain. Capital Venture Vultures got in there and paid far too much. In other words, to put it simply, somebody paid more for a business than it was worth as a going concern. I kind of get that. You start to look at Toys R Us and say, well, okay, what's going on here? How is the market changing, and how did they fail to respond to it?
Yeah, and I think it's certainly twofold. There's the private equity thing, which as I understand it as well, is that the guys that went in there as the private equity spent. I think they went in and it was $6 billion in debt. So they cost about $1 billion between the three players. And ended up with a $6 billion debt, and they were paying $320 million a year to service it. So that's the challenge, I think, which can happen, is that as they load companies up with debt, and then unless they're obviously making great profits, then the debt becomes unserviceable. But that's one aspect. But I think also there's the other side of things as well, which is certainly online's been an impact as well. And also, I don't think they've moved as quick as what they could have around the whole... you know, change in the way of what kids are now doing. And as you know, Chris, our kids of today are spending a lot more time with gaming, and I'm not sure that Toys R Us have actually been, invested in actually, moving in that direction quick enough.
Do you think that part of that might have been the social issues surrounding it? I mean, we know that kids are going down and they're really getting into the electronic games and the gaming consoles and all that sort of stuff in a really big way. But do you think that perhaps the company might have feared the reaction, especially from so-called experts, if they suddenly offered a whole range of gaming options, more specifically if those gaming options had been aimed, say, at under fives? Could they then have found themselves being accused, for example, of setting people up to spend too much time on screen? And I suppose now the problem is we live in this almost calling out, naming and shaming kind of world. And I think at some point in the future, people are actually going to turn around and say, well, get nicked. You know, that's a choice parents are going to make. And if you want to say that parents are making the wrong choice, we'll go and have a chat to them. In the meantime, butt out, because all we're doing is responding to a market. And the people who decide whether or not those young children get our products are adults anyway. But until or unless that sort of thing happens, I wonder if more and more people are becoming timid, and timid to the point that arguably... they're affecting their own business. I mean, the fact of the matter is the average four-year-old can use an iPad much more effectively than the average 84-year-old. And I think that's something that we have a lot of trouble getting our heads around.
Yeah, and that's look, it's a really good argument that you put up there, and I guess for a business is that you've got to change with the times, because otherwise you're just going to be yesterday's news, as we know. And there's you look at the big ones, of course, is around Kodak and all those guys and how they just didn't survive. And and I mean, Borders was another one as well that they didn't get into the online at all. And in fact, I was chatting to someone a couple of days ago about that, and they were saying that Borders books were actually they actually had their online outsourced to Amazon, so they actually just set Amazon up to take over from them, and they absolutely killed them. So this is the challenge, and I think certainly with Toys R Us, that as my understanding is that they weren't moving quick enough to embrace online. And if you've got that amount of debt and you're servicing that amount of debt, it's very difficult to find money to invest it online. And also, I think there's a big thing, because games are, I mean, what are the attraction for for adults to take their kids in, and you could have areas where they could have fun with them and get them involved.
I mean, why couldn't they have created a modern day version of Time Zone, for example?
That's exactly the point, because it's really interesting, because what's the word that's been bandied around now for the last couple of years, and not too many retailers have embraced it, of course, is about the word experience. And when you look at what's happening with people spending money, people are inclined to spend more money on experiences these days than actual physical items. And that's a lot to do with social media, because people don't really post, oh, look at my brand new shoes, but they'll actually post, look at us at this restaurant eating crayfish or whatever.
So yes. Yeah, I think that's also something that gaming is, even for kids. And one of the problems that adults have, even young adults, young parents probably have this to a certain extent as well, they don't get the experience that people get from gaming. I mean, the gaming now is so realistic. And sure, look at the type of games that kids are getting. And yes, I would argue that obviously we have to look at age-appropriate games and stuff like that. I wouldn't be advocating that a three-year-old be playing Call of Duty or something like that. However, it is an experience for kids. And you look at that and perhaps you'll go, gee, I don't like that. But what we have to do, and I think this is probably incumbent upon all of us, is to realise that what we, that is you and I and others of our peers might or might not like, has absolutely no relevance to what young people like nowadays. And I think especially for grandparents who are more and more becoming the unpaid childcare centre, that's where the big challenge comes in, because I look at that and go, that's a silly game. Why don't you go outside and play and stuff like that? Mate, there might be 1,000 arguments as to why they should do that, but that game fits into the category that you've just mentioned. It's an experience. And because of this virtual reality that we're getting closer and closer and closer to, it really is an experience for kids. And it's something that I think we as adults have to accept we just don't get.
Yes. Yep. And I would totally agree with that, Chris, because I was at a friend's place recently, and he's got a son who's 15, and he was in playing, and they've got, I don't know the game, but it's some new game that's now all a rage. But of course, he's online with his mates. So he's actually talking to them because they're playing it as a team. And this is, you go back 10, 15 years, that was never invented.
So it just didn't happen.
The kids are actually...
The system couldn't operate it then. And I think this is part of the problem that we have. And I'm guessing that when we get back to the Toys R Us scenario, all of this sort of stuff was happening, including to the young market that you might argue their product was primarily aimed at. In other words, the market changed. Toys R Us didn't realise, or perhaps more specifically, the older people running Toys R Us didn't realise how the market was changing. They just assumed that kids of each generation would always want toys. Well, actually, maybe they don't, and certainly not in the sense that they once used to have them. But the other problem I think you've identified, which is very, very significant these days, is the fact that once again, we have a system where a whole bunch of capital venture vultures have effectively overvalued something to the point that it could never service its debt. Now, supposedly, we have people with very, very, very highbrow degrees in finance and MBAs and the whole like. Yet, funnily enough, they don't seem to be any better at running businesses than people who years ago just used to work their way up through the ranks after they joined the company at 15 and eventually became the managing director.
And Yeah, you're right, because you look at private equity, of course, and again, they're very focused on one thing, which is making money. And they try and do it short term, and that's, and you've got to, I think, you know, do some adjustments, etc., which is the creative accounting that certainly Dick Smith was looking at. Because again, you know, Dick Smith, Woolies bought it and couldn't make it work, and I think the private equity guys paid about $70 million or whatever, and then within 6 months it was valued at $530 million. So
yeah.
How does that possibly happen?
Well, it doesn't. What happens is, I think people just get sucked into some sort of vortex.
Yeah, exactly.
Look, I can make you believe that my car is worth $300,000. And I've got to tell you right now, Roger, if you pay me $300,000 for my car, I'm going to sell it to you. But the fact of the matter is, in reality, it's not worth that much. And if you paid that much, it wouldn't take you that long to work out that you'd been very, very severely stiffed. If we're talking about a business, how do you back out of that? And this, I think, is part of the problem. And I guess at some point also, and I don't know whether this applies overseas as much as it appears to apply here in Australia, there's going to have to be a bit of a sobering up with some of our companies. Like, for example, people like Woolies need to realise that primarily what they do is retail groceries. That's their core business. And their track record suggests that once we get outside of that core retailing business, they don't do that well. We don't talk about Masters when we're around Woolies because people get upset. And, you know, when you have a look at their foray into Dick Smith, once again, it was a specialist retail area outside of their expertise. And I guess part of the problem is that when you have a whole bunch of people who are just looking at something and saying, how do we make a fast buck out of this?
At some
point, we have to lose that mentality. Because every problem that we've ever seen in a business, and people think I'm an idiot for saying this, but I'm going to say it again because I absolutely know it's true. If you look at a business that's in trouble, find the penny pinching because that's where the trouble starts.
Yep. Yeah. And it's totally agree, Chris, because again, it's about they stop investing in the right things, which is you've got to have your R&D. I mean, you've got to be looking, you know, 5-10 years out. What are the trends? What are we doing, et cetera? But also, from my point of view, and obviously very biased here, but I still think it's a massive mistake when they don't invest in their people. Because if you've got the right people, they go to work. They're highly motivated. They love the company. They love working there, and then that makes that whole experience become much better. And this is the challenge. I mean, you look at Toys R Us, of course, they'll be cutting costs. As has Meijer has done, is just cut costs.
Oh yeah, there's another success story. Not.
Yes, exactly. Well, again, I mean, their share price is now 1/10 of what it was about 5 years ago. So it's horrendous. So that's the challenge that these companies face. And how many people have been made redundant from Meijer and all sorts of places. So that's, I think, the thing that a lot of these private equity guys don't get is that there's, as you said earlier, you know, 700 people, and that's just permanent staff. And I saw there's probably close to 3,000 people in total have now got their livelihood severely questioned here.
I think the problem is these venture capital vultures are often a good source of money, but they don't get it, nor do they care. Because they're termites. They want to get in. They want to slash, burn, cut, gut and shut, get the maximum out they can in the shortest possible time. And like termites who know just when to leave a piece of wood, which is usually about 2 days before it collapses under the weight of its loss of structural integrity, they do exactly the same thing with a business. Usually about the time that these capital venture vultures pull out of a business is usually about the time that it's looking rather fragile, but in the meantime, they've made a fast buck out of it. And at some point, I guess people are going to have to look at this and say, you know, is this really a good business practice? But that's a discussion for another day. Roger, thank you very much for that.
My pleasure, Chris. My pleasure. Enjoy talking with you tonight and sharing a similar value.